Spell Krej.
K-R-E-J.
Okay.
It's jerk spelled backwards. No, because... No, listen to this. Listen to this.
Time for the Angler Within podcast with Roy Bilby.
Hey, JD, I have got to talk about the time that I had in Auburn, New York, opening weekend of the Bass Pro Shops Spring Fishing Classic. I have never, ever moved so much product. I've been representing them in their stores for 8 years now, and proud that I can say that I've held that position. 3 years ago, I got bumped up to regional because they appreciated the way that I represent the brand and the product, and because they actually do what they ask me to do. And I consider it a privilege, but it's so easy to promote the products and brands that you use and trust, and the brands that have provided so much success for me, you know, in my continual quest that's over 37,000 bass caught and released. And they had for this sale the entire Spring Fishing Classic, one of the featured items, they have three Berkeley baits that are 50% off, which is, that's unheard of, you know. Don't typically get stuff for half price, not brand new and current lures, you know, maybe discontinued stuff. But they had the Slobber Knocker, which is their version of the chatterbait and a phenomenal lure in its own right.
Hold on.
That's the Slobber
Knocker.
That's what it's called.
That sounds slightly erotic.
Evergreen makes the jackhammer. Now that name makes sense because if you've ever thrown a chatterbait, you feel that pulsing vibration feels like a jackhammer. So that's a clever name, jackhammer. But Slobber Knocker, I mean, I'll tell you what, incredibly popular. They were 50% off. When I walked in the store in Auburn, New York, early Friday morning, I got there right when they opened, 10 minutes before they opened. I went straight to set up my table in front of the tank like I always do, and I went and got those three Berkeley baits that they had 50% off, and they had 14 rows of that chatterbait Friday morning when I got in the store. By 2:15 the second day, I had sold out the store completely.
How much was it on sale for 50% off?
They're typically $9.99, and they were on sale for $4.99.
Did you get me any?
No, but if you want some, I'll get you some when I'm in Bridgeport this weekend.
It just goes back to, we've talked about it before, but it's like the names of these stupid lures. Like, nice job, Slobber Knocker.
Yeah. Hey, they do a nice job. Now, the Evergreen Jackhammer is arguably the most popular chatterbait out there. And they sell for $16 a pop. So it's pretty easy to market one that's selling for a third of that. And people were walking out with them by the handful. But I've gone in and done demos on my beloved Squirmin Shad and sold out the store entirely after my first demo. Okay. And I do three demos a day. So that put me in a bind where, well, now I'm promoting this product and I sold every last one they had in the store. But they didn't. They had one pegboard hook of them. They didn't have 14 of them.
What was the color scheme that was like? Did you see one color scheme in particular go faster than the other ones, or what was the?
They just all went till they were gone. But I had several color schemes on the table saying this was what I use in clear water because it's a natural finish. Sure. This is what I use in stained water, and this is the one I use in muddy water. You know, I'll take one of each, you know, and that's what was going on. And they also had the Fritz side crankbaits, tremendous crankbaits, normally go for $13 to $17. They were $6.50 to $8.50. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like buy one, get one free. And the other bait they had on sale was the Chapo top order, which is a $12 top order. You pick it up for $6. When I put the Chapo in the tank, I went in early Saturday morning, said, I want to see how these fish are going to respond. Because when I went in Friday, they had Lydia. She's the scuba diver that cleans the tank in Auburn and in Utica. She was in there Friday cleaning the tank for an hour and a half, and she climbed out of that tank 30 minutes before I went up to do my first tank demo. That's a problem, because when there's a human swimming around, the fish are freaking out. And they were so rattled when I went up there to do my first demo. Those fish were still all shook up. The water was getting clear. It gets cloudy when she goes in and cleans. Mm-hmm. But it was clearing up. By the second demo, it was like swimming pool water again, because those filters are really powerful. But it was still a little stirred up when I did my very first demo on Friday, and the fish were jacked up. They were still wired and freaking out. So I didn't get much response on that top water at all.
When you get there, you walk over to the tank and kind of like see what's going on. You're like, all right, do you make note of where the fish are holding?
I check it out, but they're constantly moving anyway.
Right.
I just walk up to the glass and look at them and say, all right, you guys want to work with me today or what?
How often do you hook into those giant brown, the browns that are in there?
Constantly. The big trout in those tanks, the browns and rainbows,
yeah,
they are the apex predators. They are super aggressive. If you're ever there when they do the fish feedings, those trout will knock other fish out of the way, and they get 90% of what they put in that tank. They don't care. There's a holding capacity in the tanks. I've seen as many as 5 of the big trout in a tank. But that's a good-sized tank. But they also got a lot of bass and crappie, and they got sturgeon and long nose gar, spotted gar. They got, you know, pumpkin seed. They got bluegill. They got walleye. They got sauger. They got everything. So you have to have a balance.
And then nothing ever has a hook on it, obviously. It's always hookless when you throw it in there.
If there's a hook in the lure, I take needle nose and I roll it over so it helps hold the plastic in place so they don't rip it off the hook and swallow it.
Right.
And like on the top waters and crankbaits and jerk baits and stuff like that, we remove the hooks.
Yeah.
Oh, they hit them. They hit
top waters too. They'll hit the top waters as well.
I went in Saturday morning just to test it because first of all, the water in those tanks is kept at 58 degrees. That keeps most of the fish from developing eggs and spawning. But some of them, like the trout or cold water, they'll still develop eggs. Now, a lot of times their system just absorbs the bulk of them. Mm-hmm. But I was talking with Lydia Friday, and she said sometimes the trout, more than any other fish, they'll develop too many eggs, even with it staying at a constant temperature, not, you know, rising up and then going back down. And once they develop too many eggs, she said she has to actually keep an eye on them because she's also a biologist. Mm-hmm. And then she's got to get in the tank and strip the eggs. And then they just go to the bottom and the other fish eat them. If they get too many eggs and they can't spawn, it can kill the fish. Their body only absorbs so much. So I went in Saturday morning. I was there 45 minutes early, and I went up on top of the tank and I said, I want to see if this top water is going to get any response. I kind of doubt it in 58 degree water. Mm-hmm. I made a pitch halfway across the tank. As soon as that bait hit the water, a big brown came up and knocked it up in the air out of the tank. Water everywhere. I'm like, okay, this will work. That'll sell some lures. sold a lot of Chapos, but the big deal was, and this lure is not even on sale, but I got to talk about this because I am so jacked up excited about this. Before I do, I want to mention that March 22nd and 23rd, I will be in Utica, New York at the Bass Pro Shops. I'll be in there from store opening until 4 p.m. both Saturday and Sunday. But on Saturday, JD and I will be there doing a live podcast of the Angler Within to celebrate our 1 year anniversary. And I'll tell you what, buddy, it's been nothing but a blast, 100 miles an hour doing this podcast with you. Thank you so much for opening this door for me. It's been a blast. I love it. I get comments all the time. The people who listen are loving it. I appreciate all the comments, but that's going to be a big deal for us. It's our anniversary show on the 22nd of March, doing it live in Utica. Come in the store for the sale and be a part of our podcast.
Yeah, come say, we'll have a third mic up so you guys can jump on and say hello if you'd like to. We say it's live, like we're doing it in a different location. We're in there together.
Recording it live.
Won't be doing a live, like a live stream. In the future, that could happen, but not on this one. We would love to meet more listeners, honestly. Yeah. I mean, you guys are cool. So I'd rather, we'll record for, you know, an hour around 11 o'clock, but I'll be in there hanging out for a good part of a day too.
Yeah. You guys are cool. He's got that right because you keep us going and that's awesome. So thank you so much.
Yep. All right. So what bait are you talking about?
This is, and if you're not familiar with this, this is the coolest thing in the world. The Berkeley Kredge. It's a jerk bait and, but it is, I've been telling everybody it's a non-traditional jerkbait.
Spell Kredge.
K-R-E-J.
Okay.
It's jerk spelled backwards. No, because, no, listen to this. You weren't familiar with it, all right? I introduced a ton of people to this concept. It's a jerkbait that goes backwards. This is marketing genius. It really, really is. Now, hear me out. This is a story behind it, okay?
I'm on the edge of my seat. Get into it.
Everybody knows that the big buzz the last 4 years has been forward-facing sonar. You know, let me say that again.
Sonar?
Forward-facing sonar. Live sonar.
Sonar.
Live scope. You can see what the fish are doing. You no longer have to drive over suspended fish in open water to locate them. And you run over the head, they know you're there. You no longer have to do that. You can look ahead of the boat and see where these fish are and see what depth they're at. And so many guys were using suspending jerkbaits to target these fish because you can throw your bait out, crank it down to the level that the fish are at, because you can see on your screen what depth they're holding at. You can watch your bait go down right down to that level, and then you can start your jerk bait cadence. You can, you know, jerk jerk pause, and you can watch the fish track your bait, and they'll track it, and then when you pause it, a lot of times they'll hit it. But what we never knew and could never see is that so many times when you pause that jerkbait, they would have a fish tracking it, have a fish following it. And when you pause it, they would just turn off, not interested anymore. So what Berkeley came up with, and this is nobody else has been able to do this, and I honestly don't know if anybody else was even trying, but I mark my words, you're going to see so many companies trying to do this and coming up with knockoffs, but the Berkeley Kredge is the original and currently the one and only jerkbait that does this. If you look at it, and you can Google it, you can look it up, and the smartest thing they did was they put a QR code on the side of the packaging that gives you a short video about this lure, gives you, you know, the background, how they build it, and what it's designed to do. What it's designed to do is it's weighted to the rear and it's got a bill instead of a traditional bill on a traditional jerkbait. Picture the original floating Rapala. The Rapala X-Wrap is a tremendous jerkbait. And it, like every other jerkbait, like the Smithwick Rogue and the Rebel Minnow and all those baits and the ones that are weighted to be neutrally buoyant are the actual jerkbaits themselves. If you take an original floating Rapala and work like a jerkbait, when you pause it, just floats back up to the top, floats away from the fish. Traditional jerkbaits are made like the Berkeley Stunna. won the Bassmasters Classic a couple years ago with Hank Cherry, and he's a big jerkbait fisherman, and he used the Berkeley Stunna, which was a new bait at the time, to win that tournament. And forward-facing sonar was out, and they're weighted to be neutrally buoyant, so when you pause them in your cadence, they hang right where they are. They don't float up. They hang right there, and that's the trigger. When it stops, the fish nail it. But like I said, with forward-facing sonar, we've seen so many fish that just turn off when you pause it. Berkeley figured out how to get the bait to back up to the fish, and that's what the kredge does. You don't crank it down like a traditional jerkbait because the bill, if you look at it, comes off the nose upward. It's upswept at a 45-degree angle. And it's got a line tie on the bill, on the end of the bill. When you throw this bait, you don't crank it down. You just let it drop down, and you can watch it on your forward-facing sonar. It gives you good return. You can watch it sink down to the level of the fish. Then you start your cadence like a regular jerkbait. So picture this. You got a jerkbait. It's doing its darts and dives and curves and its erratic movements. When you pause, you've got a fish tracking that bait, but he's not committing. You know, it's a male fish, obviously, has a fear of commitment. He's just tracking that bait, and he's following it and following it and following it. When you pause it, it drops right back at a 45-degree angle right into his face. What do you think he's going to do? Twice, I was up on the tank doing tank demos. I got about 30 people on the floor. There's a five-year-old girl. This happened twice with two different five-year-old girls. They're sitting on the rocks right on the tank with their face against the glass, and I'm on my PA system, and I'm working the cadence, and I say, and I tell everybody, I'm going to pause it now and watch what this lure does. It starts to drop back. I said, see how that's dropping right back at that fish's face? What do you think he's going to do? Twice. These two little five-year-old girls yell, eat it! And I said, that's right.
And did it?
Give her a prize.
Did it eat it?
Yeah, they'll grab it.
So the kredge is a jerk bait that sinks.
It sinks backwards at a 45-degree angle.
Kind of like a flying lure. Goes away from you.
Yeah. And somebody said that. I said, came down to the table, and I had a bunch of people there asking me about it. And I said, this is the only lure on the market that you can pause it and it will drop right back into the fish's face, you know, to get him to commit instead of turning away. And one of the guys in this group says, flying lure can do that.
I said,
you know, we did an episode on made for TV lures and we talked about the flying lure. You know, infomercial lures.
You've got a box of them waiting to be broken into for this spring. You put that thing to work. I mean, yeah.
Well, I said, you know, that was a lure for throwing at the front of a dock to get it to go back underneath the dock. But you had to rig it correctly or else it wouldn't do that. And I said, now we just skip them under a dock. And I said, yes, the flying lure can do basically what this does. But you got to go on, Amazon. And get lucky to find them.
What, I said, the flying lure?
Yeah.
You got to go to eBay or Marketplace. You're not going to find that on Amazon. No way.
You're not?
No. I'll look right now. Let's look.
Let's take look. A look.
Remember, I can do this. We can share.
You have the technology.
I have the technology to fly.
To look and talk.
Lure.
I'm not as technologically advanced. I can talk or I can look, but not at the same time.
Geez, I guess you can get them. Hold on.
But the kredge is something that's brand new. It's a jerkbait that'll do that. This is something fish have never seen. And my biggest selling point for this lure was every time a lure manufacturer comes out with something totally unique, you know, a presentation fish have never seen before, and they're the only ones that have it. You can't get it. You can't make enough of them because it's a presentation that is totally new to the fish. They've never seen this before, and they're going to respond to it because it's something that they're not accustomed to, something that they're not jaded about yet.
It is only on eBay.
Okay. says Flying Lure Amazon. That's your.
That's what Google, that's what I searched to see if it would pull it up. Yeah, but it's not. You can only get them second. They don't make them. They're all secondhand now. It's all secondhand stuff. But
okay, yeah. So
I had to work hard to get the one that I got for you for Christmas.
Yeah. So now that brings us back to the Berkeley Cridge, which is currently brand new and in full production. Every color of the spectrum. They came out with two new sizes this year, the 85 and the, I believe, the 125, I think.
And just a reminder to everybody that Kredge is jerk spelled backwards.
Spelled backwards because it's the only jerk bait that goes backwards. I can imagine everybody sitting around a conference room at Pure Fishing go, okay, so you solve the dilemma, and we now have a bait that when the fish will track but won't commit, it backs right up into their face. What are you going to call it? You know, when they're throwing all these names out, how about the slobber knocker? No, we already have a lure named that.
That's,
you know,
it's a dirty name, slobber knocker.
Can't call it the jackhammer. That's already taken. Somebody raised his hand and said, how about Kredge?
If like, we're ever together on a boat and you skunk, I'm going to call you Yor, which is Roy backwards for a Roy that doesn't catch fish. Yor. Yeah.
All right. I imagine somebody raised his hand and said, how about Kredge? And they said, what's that mean? He said, it's jerk spelled backwards because it's your jerk bait that goes backwards.
Now, hula popper has a hula skirt on it, and it's a popper. So that makes sense.
That makes sense. Kredge makes sense. It makes perfect sense. It's jerk backwards, which is exactly what the concept is. It's clever.
I think a jerk backwards is a nice guy.
And the fish says, so I think I'll eat them. The thing is, they're $14.99. They're not on sale. I could not keep them on my table, JD. Saturday, we had a good crowd. I only did three tank demos, but people were so, when they can see in the tank what that lure does, that it's not a gimmick, that it actually does it, and those fish take it, I could not keep them on my table. I had to reload my table with packages and packages of that bait. Five times on Saturday. The fourth time I was bringing an armload back, people were taking them out of my hand. Is this the one you had in the tank? Yeah, I want some. You know, I'm like, I just got these to reload my table. Like, you can get more. And now I got to go get more. I still can't load my table because they're taking them out of my hand. This bait is going to make a huge splash out there. And if, you know, you guys who are listening, if you got forward facing sonar, that's twice. What the heck is the deal with that?
Sonar. Get yourself, or what else can you call soda? You drink it a soda while you're watching your sonar. What do you say? Do you say soda for soda?
Soda.
You say soda. You don't say soda.
No. I don't know why I say sonar.
Sonar. Just setting right over there, that sonar.
All right, we're done with that. So, you guys out there that have forward-facing sonar and have seen fish follow and then just turn away and not commit, go out and get yourself a hand at Kredge jerk baits, and you'll see what I mean. It's phenomenal. I had so much fun putting that lure in the tank, and it sold itself. The advantage I have in promoting these baits for Berkeley and for Bass Pro and Cabela's is that I have the privilege of using their tank to showcase what these lures can do. I could not keep them on my table, and they were not even on sale. So that just blew my mind. You know, I figured the sale items would be the hot tickets, and you know, their version of the chatterbait, the slobber knocker. I wasn't going to say it again because I don't want you to lose it again. But
what?
Yeah, they sold tremendously fast, and I sold a bunch of choppos and Fritz side crankbaits that were also on 50% off. But I think I sold as many Kredge lures as I did slobber knockers, and they were not even on sale. It just blew my mind. But I also want to talk about what I did today. I have never done this before. You know, and as you know, we had, good grief, we had a 60 and then a 70 degree day Monday and Tuesday. It was just tremendously spring-like weather for us after the winter we've had. And I had a good friend who ice fished Monday. He said, no, you can still get out there. We had, and we talked about this in one of our ice fishing podcasts. We had 2x4s to reach the ice. And I'm like, well, more power to you. I'm not doing that.
I had an iceberg go by the house. That must
on the river?
That must have been like 50 feet long by probably 20 feet wide going down. Just cruise right by the house.
Now, that's one you could stand on and you could just troll the river on down.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to find out.
Yeah, yeah, good for you. He said, oh, no, there was still 12 inches of ice out on the lake. It's fine, it's fine. You know, if you want to go Wednesday, I said, I'm not sure about that. But
you
then,
can put your boat in out here. There's,
yeah.
I mean, it's.
So
it's
you get to the lake and you hit the ice.
Right, but it's the river's open.
Yeah.
River's open.
Well, the river out by me is too, and I'm going tomorrow. So
taking the bass tracker out?
Oh no. No, not that river. The Schoharie Creek. Water clarity is fairly cool. I only take a John boat there. Too rocky and shallow. You can't get it.
Yeah.
The only place you can get a bass boat on that is down where it meets the Mohawk. And you can only go about a third of a mile and you're out of water. It's John boat for there on up. So, but we're doing that tomorrow. The water clarity is good because we have no more snow. The snow melt and runoff is done. It hasn't rained for 5-6 days and everything kind of cleared. I was told the water clarity is 2 to 3 feet and that's plenty good. We're going to get some. I was on the ice today. I'll be on the water tomorrow. But the thing is, I said, I'm not walking 2x4s or ladder to get to safe ice. I'm not doing that. I said, I tell people not to do that. You know, I warn against doing that. He says, well, we won't be able to do that by after yesterday. He said, but there's still plenty of ice. I said, well, how much water's on the ice? He said, none. I said, oh, come on. With all that melt off, he's like, no, there was no water on the ice Monday. I'm like, you're kidding me. He said, no, it was slippery. There's no snow. He said, but that evaporated or whatever, there's no water on the ice. And it's 12 inches thick. But we're going to need waders to get out to the safe ice. He said, it's a little bit deeper than knee boots, so you're going to need waders. I said, if there's 12 inches of ice, I'll do waders. He said, we're going to need them. So we went out there. We just took his ice fishing sled. All I took was a box of jigging rods and my waders. He said, we're not going to need to cut holes because they're still going to be there for Monday. He took his auger anyway, which is just as well because it was 20 degrees overnight and we got a quarter inch of ice, which easily broke when we stepped out on it. And we just broke it ahead of us. You could see where the solid ice was and it was only between your knees and your waist when you got out there. So if you wore knee boots, you would have been wet feet, but just wearing chest waders, we were fine. And we got out there and you just get on your knees and you crawl onto the ice. He went out. He said, I'll be the guinea pig. I'll go out first. I said, good, because I'm still not convinced. I'm not convinced. He said, it's going to be fine. I said, yeah, you haven't done this before either. Who are you kidding? And I said, and you can't swim. So he said, but I know there's 12 inches of ice and I know it's solid. Yeah, that doesn't disappear overnight. So, especially when it's 20 degrees. So he went out there, climbed up on the ice. He goes, you convinced? I said, no, I would appreciate you drilling a hole. I mean, we're only talking 20 feet of open water. He said, I'd appreciate you drilling a hole just to confirm the thickness of the ice. And he went down 8 inches and stopped and said, I haven't broken through yet. It's at least 8-9 inches here. It's probably 12. You can, I said, well, yeah, you know, 3 to 4 inches is safe. Not if it's been melting, I wouldn't think, but I said, yeah, that's more than twice what you need to be safe. So I walked out there, climbed on the ice, and we went to where we were going to fish. There's still 12 inches of solid ice. So,
and that's science. I get that. And it pulls away from the shore first. That's what it does. I don't think I'll be going back out again ice fishing this year. I think this is probably my one and done thing. I went out with the bait caster yesterday. No backlashes, by the way. No backlashes.
Awesome.
It was gorgeous. Like this, I can cast. Plus, I went fly fishing this past week as well.
Where were you fly fishing?
I went on the Little Delaware in Delhi. I had a 9 a.m. meeting in Margaretville, and so I was like, I'm in Delaware River territory now, so I better get out and fish. That was Monday, and so when it wasn't windy,
Monday was nice.
It wasn't really all that windy outside, and so I went to the golf course, to the famed swimming hole, the big rock in between the two bridges. It's a known spot. Anybody who knows that area knows where that is.
Community hole.
Yeah. No one's there fishing it. That's a swimming hole. And so I went to go fish it. I took video. I sent it to Sean to see his thoughts on it because the water wasn't blown out. It was just high. And he said, perfect, go for it. And I fished for an hour and I couldn't get a drift that would stay in the strike zone. I couldn't stay in the strike zone for longer than like 2 or 3 seconds. And I was trying to get it. It's in fly fishing, it's all about your drift. So if you're going too fast, you can't slow it down. I had a nymph on there. I had a bead-headed nymph, and I had a big old woolly bugger. If you know what a woolly bugger is, just a big old.
Yep, I'm familiar with it.
And it was a heavy size fours. They were gigantic, but I was dragging that behind a nymph, and I couldn't pull anything up. But it was just nice being out there. I foul hooked I snagged a brown trout that was 18 inches long when I was in fifth grade. In the middle of the day.
Wow.
And so I called my dad when I got home. I took it. I mean, like, cars were driving by me, like, blown away at the fish I was carrying, you know, home. Did you ever go to Target Sports in Delhi when it was open? Way back in the day. It was downtown, this place called Target. And they, did you ever read the Fish Finder magazine?
Yes.
It was a paper one. It was a newspaper style, the Fish Finder magazine.
Right.
My buddy Brett and I had a picture in the Fish Finder with this 18-inch trout, the two of us together. Mind you, I foul hooked this sucker, so we're lying about how I caught it, like, the whole time.
Of course you are.
Because we're out there, it was middle of the day, the fish weren't biting, and I could see this, you could see right into this hole. You could see the muskrat swimming around, you could see all kinds of stuff, and then your eyes get used to it. When you're a kid, you can see everything, as opposed to, like, blind ass now, I can't see a thing. But you know, you look down in there and you can see this beautiful brown trout that was tucked down into this hole next to a rock. You know, you could see it. And so I threw a Phoebe out there and I put it right down next to it and I heaved for all I had and I caught it right in the side. It was a hell of a fight, of course.
Foul.
We brought it in and we kept it. We didn't even know how to kill it. We're like hitting it in the head with rocks to try and like knock it out. Like we were messing that fish died the worst death on this planet. Right. Yep. I feel terrible about it. And so fast forward, my dad gets this fish mounted for me. My buddy repeatedly was like, did you ever tell your dad how you caught that thing? And I was like, no.
Nope.
And so
why would I do that? The story we made up is so much better.
Exactly. So fast forward to later in life when we're older, like my dad's like, you know, in his late 60s. And we're looking at that. It was in his workshop. Can I tell you something about that fish?
Oh, boy.
And he looks at me and he goes, you foul hooked it in the side in the middle of the day. And I was like, yeah, he knew the whole time. But but he didn't care because it was my fish. So it was like, you know, I didn't understand it at that point. But that fish has taken on so many different meanings to me.
Yeah.
I still have it. I still have the mount. It's fins are, a couple of the fins are in rough shape, but I still have it. And that guy did a horrible job. It's not a well taxidermied fish. For the record, this thing's like beat. And I'm looking at it, but I'm thinking like that was for me for so long. It was this lie that was on the wall for so long.
Yeah.
But then it became like this important thing between my dad and I, you know, because I beat myself up for years about that.
Over that.
And he knew the whole time. And I felt beat up because I felt that I'd lied to my father.
Yeah.
But he always knew. He's like, he foul hooked it. He's like, I saw it when it was in the sink in my house when he got home. He could see the mark in the side of the fish.
Yeah.
He knew what I had done. He might not have understood that I did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Which I still didn't tell him. He said enough. He's like, you foul hooked it. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I really foul hooked it. Like, you can foul hook a fish while fishing.
Yes, you can.
I snagged that sucker is what I did. Yep. And so
intentionally.
Now, in this day and age, I don't keep a single fish I catch unless I gill it. And I'm so careful with how I handle those trout. As careful as I can be. I have a buddy of mine who I won't say his name, but who's an older gentleman, and he's often fishing by himself, and he just throws these 20-inch brown trout on the rocks and takes pictures of them on the snow and takes pictures of them. And he doesn't even realize that he's like shortening that fish's life by what he's doing. You know what I mean? But sometimes it'll be in his net, but his net's not even like the rubber kind. It's like the rope inside of it or whatever.
That so kind that tears the slime coat.
Yeah.
Off, which is their protection.
Exactly. So, you know, and man, Roy, he catches giant trout on a regular basis right near me. And I'm like, you're killing these things before I can even get there to catch them myself. What are you doing? But anyway, there's my short story long about the fishing hole in Delhi.
Let me show you this picture. That's standing in the water, 20 foot of open water right by the ice. You can see it's only just barely above my knees.
Send me that. I'm going to make that our picture for this one.
All right.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good pair. There we go. That was today.
That was today. Look at you.
Yeah, I'll send the boat to you. You decide.
I'll decide when it gets here. You
always pick good ones. So we did find some perch. He's like, look, I got them. I got 20 on Monday, but 15 were keepers. And he said, I don't want to keep any today, but I'm down to 5 packages in my freezer and for our Monday night fish fries. And I've got to get a 3-man package for when you're there. I got to get a 3-man package for when my brother-in-law is coming. My other brother-in-law and my sister are coming out in June and notified me that they will be there for 3 Monday nights. So I got to do double packages for all those 3. So I got to get to work. So I kept some perch today, but I tell you what, he said, it's a morning bite. We're going to get them quick. When the afternoon sun came out, they shut right off. So we got to get there early, which we did. But I said, you know, every day's different. Days can be similar, but every day's different. And it was not a morning bite. It was a while before we got anything. It took me 4.5 hours before I hooked the fish. But it was one of those big perch I just showed you. And
you almost got skunked.
Yeah, I almost got skunked.
Did you go drill more holes to find the fish, or what'd you do?
It's a good thing he took his auger because, yeah, all those holes were out there, but they had, you know, 3/8 of an inch of ice on them. And some of the ones from Monday had like a half inch or so. And it was real hard to break took like 6 stomps with a heel of your boot to just break through. Mm-hmm. So he was using his auger, one hit of the trigger, and boom, they're open. So we had a bunch of holes that were out there that were open. So we covered water, but yeah, it took me 4.5 hours. We fished 6 hours and 15 minutes. It took me 4.5 hours to finally start putting fish on the ice. Mm-hmm. But we both got some nice keepers, and yeah, we got into double digits, but we both lost something big. He thought he had a lake trout on. I think mine was a smallmouth because it just pulled down. It hooked itself. It pulled down so hard, I couldn't do anything with it. I got it up about 2 feet and went to reel in. And he pulled so hard, I went, I better loosen this drag. And my line broke. So I don't know. It wasn't head shaking like a lake trout. You know, I wasn't feeling all those deep thumps that you get on a lake trout. So I think it was either a smallmouth or could have been a walleye because it was a good, hard, steady pull. Mm-hmm. It was just way bigger than anything I'd hooked, and we were getting, you know, 13-inch perch. So, it was a light action panfish rod for ice fishing. So, a 13-inch perch pulls pretty good. So, whatever this was, it was way bigger than that. So, but we had a good day. It was successful. And tomorrow, I'm putting a boat out. Ice one day, in a boat the next. And I'll give a report on that when we do our broadcast out of Utica, New York. You want to throw that out there one more time?
Yes. Come on out and see us on March 22nd at the Utica Bass Pro Shops over there in, technically it's in, is that New Hartford?
In New Hartford. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it's.
So anyway, it's over there. Look it up. Google it. Get your ride over to us. We'll be hanging out by the big old tank. We'll be recording an episode, and I get to roast Roy while he's doing tank demos.
Yeah, that'll be fun for you.
I can't wait to hear you, you know, make up your own words.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we'll see what happens. Up here with my slobber knocker.
Slobber knockers. Slobber knockers and stoners.
Yep.
And check Alrighty. Out and check out Roy on his Instagram, as always, at all lowercase Roy Bilby. Drop a line to him, slide into his DMs, and ask him whatever you want within reason.
We hope to see you in Utica. We will be there, hopefully engaging with a lot of our listeners and helping them tune into their Angler Within.